Last one is rejected Boy Scout badges.
Well, Little John, today we're happy to award you the To Catch a Predator badge.
Oh, no.
They caught him. Okay, don't worry about it. He got the badge because they caught him. They have to catch him to get the badge. There's incentive there.
Oh my god.
They have to be searching for the predator too.
Welcome to another episode of the Comedy Bold Podcast. We're here again. It's episode 3.
We're still here.
We're still at it.
We actually never left.
We've been recording nonstop for 3 weeks straight.
For your viewing pleasure.
We pick the best 15 minutes out of the entire week. And that's what makes it onto the Comedy Bowl podcast.
If you never stop recording, that's how you win a Pulitzer.
The camera should always be rolling.
Roll.
Why don't we introduce ourselves? Because that's probably what people want to know. I'm Evan Bolt on the Comedy Bowl podcast. Who else we got here?
Hey guys, I'm still Big Bear Jones.
And you got me, Max.
And I'm Cameron.
I'm Taylor. I missed the last one, but now I'm back.
And I'm Navarro.
And today is especially a special day, because Taylor is departing. He's spreading his comedic wings and flying from the Comedy Bold Coop, and moving in new directions in his life. Taylor, tell us about this.
Does this make you the mama bird in this?
No. Oh, I'm mama bird. Evan is just the papa bird who came and brought all the twigs. Then I created the nest, but then he's the one who gets the picture taken by the nature documentarian, and I'm just standing over there with my wings crossed, like, but that's my fucking nest.
I'm also the one who after 3 years decides he can't make it work and leaves.
No, he just builds a bunch of other nests.
There's so much pent up energy here.
This is
I'm so deeply uncomfortable.
As well as sexual tension, maybe.
We'll be recording the Comedy Bold Therapy podcast immediately after this one to work through some of this resentment.
Oh man. Anyway.
We're off to a great start.
I just want to clear the record, and the tension is there, but it is sexual, so no one needs to be worried.
It is Taylor's birthday today. His birthday gift is leaving us behind, so we've decided to throw him a very special happy birthday / get the F out of here episode. We love you, and we hate you for leaving.
What's fun about that is that this episode will come out weeks after his birthday. But remember, listeners, it was his birthday weeks ago.
And you missed it.
And you missed it. How does that make you feel?
Just don't dig too hard into figuring out what exactly is my birthday.
So if it's please. Ever, like, a year after this episode's come out, just remember, a couple weeks back, it was Taylor's birthday.
Yeah.
Just know, every time you listen to this episode, you'll be late to Taylor's birthday. Even if you're early, you're still late.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Taylor's birthday, actually, it's a moving holiday now, kind of like President's Day, and it follows a few weeks previous to whenever you're listening to this episode.
Yeah.
Taylor, tell us about you're spreading your wings. You're moving on to greener pastures. Tell us what those greener pastures are. What does the grass look like on the other side of that electric fence that they keep us all behind?
Oh wow. in a typical naive young 20s-year-old fashion, I am going to be shortly trying to make it in LA, as the kids say. I am hoping to be doing something in the film and TV industry, so I'm working on rounding out my portfolio a little bit before then, moving sometime in the spring, and hopefully hitting the ground running.
I have no doubt that you will hit the ground running, Tim. I have no doubt.
Oh, I forgot the analogy. I'm going to jump and hit the air.
There you go.
Flying.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Okay.
As a bird.
Everyone loves extended metaphors.
What I loved was I really thought you were going to say, I have no doubts you're going to succeed, and you didn't.
I mean, he didn't say it in a very roundabout way. You will try hard.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah. I thought that was a great compliment. What I'm saying is I have no doubt that Taylor is going to give it his best, because he gives everything his best. I think Absolutely. That's the best. In making it in the film and television industry, I think that's the best trait you can have. Fuck talent, man. Screw talent.
0% necessary.
It's all about hitting the ground running or hitting the air flying.
Okay, we can stop with the bird metaphors. I think we're good.
I don't understand bird metaphors.
I thought you were going to say you don't understand birds, and I was like, I don't know if that's a joke or just a fact.
That too. They were placed here by the government. Who really knows?
They're replaced here by dinosaurs,
but they're also the descendants. Yes,
that's the part that like makes it weirder. Like, if someone was like, which one of these is a conspiracy theory? Birds are from the government. Birds are from dinosaurs. I would say the dinosaur ones is the conspiracy theory.
What do you mean? That makes complete sense. There's so many dinosaurs in Congress right now. They're all so old. What are you talking about?
You've just been
real octogenarian.
Okay,
hours.
Hear me out. For the Comedy Bowl podcast, can we get one of those sound boards where anytime anyone makes a joke, we just hit it? And it's like no.
we should make our own sounds for the soundboard. It should be each of us are like one of the buttons, and it's just some chosen sound effect. We'll work on it, fans. We're working on it.
That actually might be coming. I don't know. Fans, anyway. If you don't know already, which you should, but if you don't, Taylor Ellis was a wonderful, wonderful editor on primarily, now he dabbled across the board, as we know, he's a talented, funny man, but he was primarily our editor for the wonderful podcast, Bare and Bold Save the World. If you're not familiar, please check it out. Me and Big Bear Jones go out every week. We tackle fans' problems that they've written into the show. And give them some comedic, yet I'd say wholesome and worthwhile advice.
Considering the one we just recorded, you told people to watch holiday themed porn. Let's just go with it. We give advice. Let's not say whether it's good or bad. We give advice.
Wholesome and quality advice. Yeah, it all checks out. I did tell people. I said adults. I said consenting adults should enjoy holiday themed porn.
So again, I'd like to circle back to advice. Just advice. No plus minus. Just advice.
Okay. So obviously there's a little tension in the Bare and Bold recording room.
Also sexual tension.
Also sexual tension. It's across the board on the Comedy Bowl team.
It's just Evan. He's just loosey.
Really what this is this was just a failed orgy. We were like all coming together. And then we were like, I don't really feel comfortable with this anymore, so we just decided to make a comedy company.
Because what comes out of a failed orgy?
The natural conclusion to all, or at least most orgies.
Perfect.
You do it, you have a great time, you start a wonderful comedy troupe.
Yeah.
You come together, and does anybody really come together? You know what I mean?
Okay, there's tension in the Bare and Bold Save the World recording room, so we thought it would be fun to do a little segment for a farewell to Taylor so the fans can get really just really close to him right before we never bring him back in. Just kidding. He'll definitely be back, folks. Don't you worry. Taylor, I'm curious. Was there a favorite episode of Bare and Bold Save the World? Was there any great advice you heard on that show as you were editing?
Here's I think that the election episode. So I don't know if we'll need to edit this in for context for people who haven't seen it. But Bare and Bold did do a how to get more people to vote in the 2020 election. You should check it out. It's still hilarious, though the election is done. And this election had the most popular votes ever. So clearly it worked. Clearly Bingo. People listened.
Coincidence? I think not.
Bingo.
I will say, and I don't know how much I can say about this, but I have edited one. That is fantastic, thanks to a special guest. And I am very much looking forward to when that one hits the airwaves, because it's fantastic.
I think that'll be out before this. Yep. So for those of you who are wondering, if you need a date to the Dennis Middle School Winter Formal,
dance.
Check out...
It is coming. It's right around the bend.
The Dennis Middle School Winter Formal Dance.
I always forget that word. The Dennis Middle School Winter Formal Dance. If you need a date to that occasion, go check out that episode of Baron Bold Save the World. You won't be disappointed.
Oh.
Or you'll be extremely disappointed.
Well, the parents will be extremely disappointed.
Or just happy that their kid's getting out of the house.
Dude, it's what the kids need to know. Yeah.
There you go.
People who have never listened to that show are thinking to themselves, wait, so in one episode they advertise holiday porn. In another episode, they're trying to get someone a date to a middle school dance? Now that sounds like a well-rounded show.
There are a lot of problems and you're solving all of them.
That's what it is.
The world is a diverse place, people. To save that entire thing, you gotta meet the needs of the public. You think Batman... I don't know where I'm going with that. We'll just hop Bingo. Off right now.
I always think Batman. I just walk into a room, Batman.
Taylor, what else? What other hot goss can you give to our fans? How about this? Can I prompt you with we're gonna give you 3 free roasts to anyone on the team.
Let me break it down. You can roast 3 people, or you can use your 3 roasts on one person.
On the same person.
Yeah. So if you want to roast like Cameron 3 times, just for no reason,
do it, bitch.
Which is funny because I think Cameron is the person I know least well, so I really got nothing.
There you go. There's roast number 1.
Bingo.
But what I do know is that. Wait. I was
I feel like that was a self roast, but we'll let that one go.
Hey, also, if you want to hold on to those roasts, you can disperse throughout the episode. If that's
Evan knows you're gonna use 3 on him, so I think he's trying to slow it down.
It is a Friday, and traditionally these are shit on Evan days.
That is true.
Yeah,
I'll take my time with them.
All right, perfect. All right. Well, does anyone else have any hot goss questions for Taylor before we move into?
Who's your least favorite, Taylor? You're leaving. You can tell us. It's fine.
Y'all know the answer.
I think we do.
let's rephrase it. Is there a episode where you felt like, oh man, I wish I could have given a solution, or you thought yourself, not that solution, but I do have one?
Ooh, that's a good question. I have to say, when I was watching the listening as I was editing the episode where it was about how to impress a first date with your cooking, but not cook too well such that you have to cook again. Evan, my God, man. There's solving a problem, and then there's encouraging gaslighting. Evan, you're the sweetest guy. You are a gem on this earth, which is why I was so taken aback. That was diabolical.
So for context, because this episode's already out, you should definitely check it out. Bare and Bold Save the World, available everywhere podcasts can be found. In that one, Evan said for your date, you should cook this meal, cook it very well, right? Make it a perfect meal. And then eventually, you know, as you guys get to know each other and you've been dating for a little bit, you know, eventually your significant other will be like, hey, you know, you remember that meal that you made on our first date? Like, can you make it again? And then Evan suggested that you make the shittiest version of that meal and just pretend like you never made it before. And boom, never have to cook again.
You have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. You don't deny. It's not gaslighting if, oh, in theory, God, you have no idea what they're talking about.
That is gaslighting.
That's exactly what gaslighting
is. Evan is just pouring the gas, standing there with the match, and be like, babe, it's not gaslighting.
It's not gaslighting. I'm not
gaslighting.
Navarro,
I'm going to use a roast on you. You can't pour gas. What?
Hey, gasoline.
Gasoline, to be fair.
Oh. You meant gas, yes.
You didn't pour gasoline.
Not a gas.
But we love fair enough.
Carbon monoxide.
Wow.
Yeah, depending on the density of the gas, you can definitely pour gas.
Hey, it was a roast on me. Let's not roast Taylor.
Okay, Taylor. You come at me for my gaslighting, even though I gave the fan a world saved. How would you save that world, huh? Huh? How do you make a dinner that's good enough to have a nice first date, but not too good, so that you never have to cook again?
I would say this. If you want to go to that length, you need to, I feel like, have a reason why you don't cook. Like, some people are like, oh, I can't garden because I don't have a green thumb, right? So that could be you. You could be just like, oh, it never turns out. And you make something, right? You make something good. But you leave it in the oven maybe a little too long. So it doesn't taste bad. Maybe it's like a tiny bit overdone. You're like, I burnt it. I ruined it. This is why I never cook. Obviously, you didn't burn it that bad. You didn't ruin it. But it went, because if you're going to cook something, if you're going to go to that effort, you may as well just say, like, I don't like cooking, but I made this for your first date. But if we're not allowed to just be honest, if we're not allowed to be honest,
oh, man.
if we're strictly sticking to you have to make a meal that's good enough to enjoy, and you have to pretend like you made it like good enough, like you really tried hard, but you also never want to cook again, then you have to reinforce that narrative into that first meal.
Oh, I like that.
You have to build it in. You have to let them know.
Control the narrative. I like it. Okay. All right. But hey, to move on to our last segment, Taylor, because we know we only got you for a little bit longer, and we want to milk every comedic bone in that body. One last chance. Get all that comedy bowl of energy out. Give us your funniest stuff. So we've prepared a little game from our lovely preppers here. Navarro and Max Herman have prepared a lovely game from our new show, Comics Arena. Make sure to check it out. It's really fun. We bring in all these stand-up comedians to play some really great games, and we declare the Comics Arena champion. But we did a little variation here today, so that way the four of us could play. Max and Navarro will be moderating. And we're just going to bang it on out and call it a day. Sound good to everyone?
Let's do it.
Sounds great.
All right, take us away.
So the game we're playing is one that you see often on Comics Arena. It's called Finish the Bit. It's very simple. We just give a prompt, and all four of you will get to answer it. Navarro and I are going to, like, make our own picks each round for people who are getting points. And at the end, we're going to announce who won the whole thing.
And Taylor, you get to pick your position in the lineup. So you want to go first, last, or somewhere in the middle?
No, third.
He's going third, folks.
Okay, so first prompt is prizes at the bottom of the cereal box that you would enjoy now as an adult.
Oh, look, Mommy. I got a new iPhone.
Oh, my God. It's a pack of 10 unused condoms.
Dang it! That was mine!
Come on. Oh my God, yes! It's my self-esteem!
Dang it, no prize again.
All right, going into the second round, Navarro and I have both written down our picks, and the second prompt is rejected openings for the Gettysburg Address.
Just in case any of the viewers may not remember exactly.
Yes, the viewers.
The opening of the Gettysburg Address.
That's the one that goes 47 years ago, and then he talks about what happened on this country.
You know. We've had our troubles. We're not the greatest. We've come through some stuff, and we're gonna get through it this time too, and it's gonna be great.
Cool.
Make America great.
The start of the Republican Party, folks. The start of the Republican Party.
Ooh. Good old GOP.
Ooh, topical.
So sorry. Anybody else pretty hyped they didn't show up here 47 years ago? It was crazy. They died.
This thing on. So how about that horse and carriage food, am I right? I mean, guys. Come on. Stale bread again?
For the audience perspective, Taylor decided to have Abraham Lincoln using a microphone in the 1800s, and that was just amazing.
Yeah, he also has note cards in his other hand. He's looking for him. He's really nervous.
Perfect.
They wouldn't be cards. They'd be, like, parchments. Note parchments.
We stand historical accuracy.
Mary, where is my note parchments? Mary, I need them for my address.
Okay, you ready? Before I scored 7 years ago, the only thing they were calling me was a founding daddy.
Last one is rejected Boy Scout badges.
Looks like Bear's got something down.
Hanging up a poster without it falling down first.
Well, Little John, today we're happy to award you the To Catch a Predator badge.
Oh, no.
They caught him. Okay, don't worry about it. He got the badge because they caught him. They have to catch him to get the badge. There's incentive there.
Oh my god.
They have to be searching for the predator too.
Wait. So is that like catfishing?
Basically, they'd be
playing themselves.
That would be tadpole fishing.
Well, and the troop right next door, they are more than happy, so proud to give out their own award, their own Boy Scout badge, which is making it through without encountering a predator, which, you know.
Commendable.
That's a hard one to come across in the Boy Scouts.
Some troops have, some troops don't, so.
That's just really real commentary on the Boy Scouts of America.
I don't know what else you thought was going to happen when you made this
As a life scout, I genuinely feel bad, but you know, we're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it going.
Back in my day, we had the first wank badge, but everyone got that at our first sleepaway camp. Am I right, boys? Oh, yeah.
Gross.
The high-fiving yourself was...
Hey, man, it's audio. They don't know that was to myself.
It was to the other person in the room recording with you.
In the same room? Is someone else?
Are you trying COVID? To fake as if any one of us high-fived you right then? Because I want to give the audience the information that none of us high-fived Evan. That was himself high-fiving himself.
I feel like Evan's explanation makes it worse because he's at home with his family. So he's insinuating that someone in his family heard him say, first wank badge and was like, oh.
Good one, Eb.
All right, guys, that has been a comedically bold moment to end on. I love it. I absolutely love it. This has been the first half of the Comedy Bold podcast. Giving our last final shout out to Taylor Ellis, the man, the myth, the legend. He's going to be places, people. Follow him on Instagram. Follow him on Facebook. Follow him home from his work environment.
What are your ads? What are your ads?
Hit him with the ads.
You can follow me on Instagram at created by Taylor _.
It's right there.
Yeah.
You're one click away from
tailored content. We love that.
Ooh. Hey.
Oh.
Good Ooh. One. Hit soundboard of nice.
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 Before we leave this, though, real quick, the results of the game.
Oh, yeah, hit us.
It was a close one, but, and funny enough that it's the Taylor episode, Taylor came out ahead. With Cameron in second place.
Bingo, we love that.
Taylor takes the gold.
Max and Navarro, I'll be Venmoing you the 20 shortly.
Oh, we appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Fans, if you are so sad that Taylor's leaving us, don't worry, because he'll definitely be back to guest star in a future episode of the Comedy Bold podcast. No doubt about it.
That I will.
If you enjoyed the Comedy Bold podcast today, make sure to follow us on Instagram. Make sure to share us with all your friends, your not friends. Follow us on Facebook. We're everywhere. And make sure to stick around for the second half. We have Calvin Lane coming in, a hilariously funny man, going to be interviewed by Big Bear Jones and I. And you're going to hear a 5-minute set from him in just a minute, so stay tuned.
But besides that, hit him with the outros, boys.
I've been Max, and I'm happy to be here.
Hey, I'm Bear, And only you can prevent forest fires.
I've been Cameron. We'll see you later.
All right, I've been Navarro.
I am Taylor. It has been a pleasure to be on this podcast. It has been a pleasure to work with all of you. And I will come back sometime shortly.
Hello, my name is Calvin Lane, and like every major blood-sucking brand out there, I'm going to remind you about how disappointing this year was. Not because I'm trying to sell you sneakers, but because I want to talk about dissatisfaction, a word that all of my high school girlfriends are deeply or perfectly averagely familiar with. See, dissatisfaction comes from a strong buildup that promises an intense conclusion which never comes or is way under expectation. And believe me when I say I am an expert in this field, as I have been sexually edging myself for a personal record of 27 days. Thank you. Thank you. And I've been wearing nothing but skinny jeans, no underwear, and avoiding potholes. Now please stay with me. I know I lost a few of you. You see, edging is a perfect example of why dissatisfaction is something you will always feel. And you may say, Calvin, I'm pretty sure there's an outcome that works out pretty satisfied. Well, my unenlightened little listener, either I make it to the sweet and ever so salty paradise and fail to make it one day longer in my record, or I stay in this parched desert and continue my personal advances. Either way, dissatisfaction. See, some of you may be having trouble wrapping your head and hand around this girthy concept, so let me posit a purely puritanical perception not involving sex. I recently discovered the phrase, "there's a club for everything," is true. I learned today there is a virginity club. You know what the best part of the club is, besides its name? It's every month on their Instagram, they corner one of their members using good old Catholic guilt, take a photo of their sweaty, repressed face, and post it as the Virgin of the Month award. Now, the losers have to deal with the fact that they're not even the best at being a virgin, which has got to be a realization rougher than Father McDowell after the communion wine. And do you think on Sunday, after they pray, they look up and go, "Maybe next week?" And the winners of the world? Reward? Well, they get to be called something I was bullied for in middle school. Congratulations. Now, don't get me wrong. There's no reason to not be proud of virginity. I just find their message of sexual purity is being promoted incorrectly. They shove this message down our throats the only way a virgin knows how to shove anything down any throat. Rough, uncoordinated, and crying the whole time. Because let me tell you this, after 27 days in these skinny jeans, I guarantee you my spirit is much stronger than any of them. Because edging is not just a sexual thing. I want to talk about happy feet. You may say, where am I going with this? Well, I'm taking us back to the lawless wasteland that is 2006. Show of hands, how many of you at least know what Happy Feet is? You know, you might not have seen it, but it's one of those ephemeral films that even if you haven't seen it, I'm sure you've seen Mumble's soulless CGI eyes and your nightmares telling you you'll never be in it. Sorry, back to my point. I've thought a lot about Happy Feet, and I think it is a perfect example of why people will always feel dissatisfied. George Miller, you know, the director of Mad Max, made this movie, and it's kind of intense. For those of you who don't know the premise of this demonic little film, I will try to sum it up in a single breath. Basically, there's this penguin that can't sing and all the other penguins can't sing, and he's an outcast, and I think it's a vague metaphor for being gay, but it's not, because there's a girl penguin and there's a bunch of Mexican penguins that are like, "Hey, mi amigo," and then like halfway through, George Miller starts focusing on climate issues, and then the penguins don't have enough food and global warming and overfishing, and there's a zealot penguin, and then it's causing a decline in the populace, and then basically the movie's got heart. It's got real issues, it feels personal, and by God, that tap dancing penguin taps its way into your heart. Mumble ends up in a zoo at the end of the... Alright, shut up. It's not spoilers. It's 2021. And a video of him tap dancing goes viral. And I implore you to take whatever drug you love the most and watch this last minute of the movie, because it is a trip that I'm going to try to sum up. A pudgy little girl takes a video of Mumble dancing, Video goes viral. Dude in the UN says, we gotta do something about this. Cut to fishing boats. Cut to the UN. Cut back to fishing boats. They've banned all over fishing, and global warming has been reversed, ending in a giant dance number with all the penguins. What? You may be saying, I saw this movie, Calvin. I don't remember this fever dream. Well, that's because your tiny little flightless bird brains can't begin to comprehend this deus ex machina. All it feels is the joy of a happy beat ending. So what has this got to do with edging? Well, it's the exact opposite. For an hour and 35 minutes, you feel the crank winding up and up, and then in 15 minutes of blurred ecstasy, you get an absurd rush for everything falling into place. Happy Feet tells you the lie that everything works out in the end, no matter what. And this year, it wasn't just me edging myself in quarantine, it was all of you, emotionally edging ourselves, coming ever so close with Zoom calls and small gatherings, but never getting the real, raw dog, walk around, mask down feeling. And in a way, aren't we all just mumble, standing in an enclosed zoo, hoping beyond hope that a viral video will make dreams come true? Because in our hearts, we know that our lives, our dreams are possible, and the dissatisfaction from edging our dreams could never match the dissatisfaction of the reality if I came to... Oh my god. I'm sorry, I got too worked up. That's all my time. Oh, record 27.
Welcome back to another segment of the Comic Spotlight. You just heard an excellent 5-minute set from none other than Calvin Lane himself.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And now we have the wonderful Calvin Lane to get a little insight on his comedic process. So if this is the first time you're tuning into the Comic Spotlight, let us tell you what we do here. We bring on an up-and-coming comedian who's absolutely hilarious.
Indeed.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. I should go, guys. I'm sorry. Keep going.
We bring an up-and-coming comedian who's absolutely hilarious, but maybe hasn't been recognized quite yet for their hilarity, if you will, to bring on, talk about their process, what they find funny, and maybe give a little inspiration out there to other comedians who are diving into the great world of comedy.
Right.
So, Calvin Lane, thank you so much for being on for us today.
Oh, buddy.
Hey, guys. Hey. Yeah, hey. So thank you so much for thinking about me. I really appreciate it.
I think about you often, Calvin.
I think about you often, Big Bear.
Oh.
Love you, man.
Yeah.
And you too, Evan.
I appreciate it. So we're going to dive right in. And Calvin, just to give them a little idea, so they just heard your great set. And, you know, I'm curious, if you could describe yourself for people who are interested in comedy, how would you do that? Like, what is your comedian dating profile for the people listening right now?
That's a good idea. Kind of like my real dating profile, distant and oftentimes absent. Just kidding. Unfortunately, due to everything that's been happening, I haven't gotten to do real stand-up since 2019. And before that, I really chose mics that were smaller crowds. I'm not a huge fan of, I'm actually a very nervous comic doing it in front of a live audience. So this has been great because I was able to talk into a microphone and look at my stuffed animals. That's not actually. But I guess for me, I've got a more long-form humor. I've really turned to writing in the last couple of years. Comedic writing is kind of something that I'm very passionate about. Not just scripts, but just in general, like long-form text. I think it's harder to do. Not harder. I think stand-up is the peak of like putting yourself out there as a comedian, and I think it's very important, and that's why I've tried to do it. But personally, my talents shine, I think, in creating things that aren't as quick-witted as stand-up has to be oftentimes. So I've never had anything longer than a 20-minute set. So, you know, you got to kind of boil down like my favorite things into a very quick, witty little bits. And then also, I had a long stint as an improv comic, Jordan knows, the bear knows. Yeah.
So pretty much what I'm hearing for you, Calvin, is it's either you love the slowest of slow burns, or you just want to get up there, you have no idea what you're going to say, and it's just going to be funny as hell.
I've often find in writing, especially, because I think, you know, we talked about advice, but writing down your thoughts is the biggest thing that I would give anybody who's trying to start being a comedian. Finding ideas is very easy for me, and then turning those ideas into something that's not so grandiose is very hard for me. So it's either quick little burnt twist matches or a long slow bonfire. But yeah, that's a pretty good example.
That's what's up. And that like really aligns with your personality too.
I know, right?
Makes so much sense. Yeah.
Hey man, I'd swipe right if
Thank you. All I have to see is you. That's a baddie right there.
Uh-oh. We love that. But how do you come up with your material? Like how do you build out your sets or what are you looking for in the real world that like sparks your imagination?
That's actually a great example. I'm going to talk about that 5 minute. I know you guys haven't heard it yet, but it's about dissatisfaction. And, you know, literally how I built the set was, A, I saw the movie Happy Feet, and it is a terrifying, terrifying whirlwind. But I kind of latch onto a word or a phrase or an idea. Some of my favorite sets are, I have a Valentine's Day set, which I think is adorable. I've got a set just about dogs. And it's kind of these core, like, Ali Wong, who's a phenomenal comedian.
Indeed.
She does this in a great way as well, where she has these overarching chapters in her sets that something branches from the very beginning to the end, and then you've got little sections in the middle that also are connected.
Yeah.
And so I think I work from top to bottom rather than from bottom to top. So I get something that I want to be like the message, and then I try to think up funny things. And I don't do it alone, actually. I'm the kind of person who's like, you guys want to hear a joke? And then nobody laughs. And I go, all right, that one's a big X. And then we keep moving on. So I guess I crowdsource opinions from a lot of people. And then I have a best friend named Jeff who also is a comedian. Although not so much anymore. He's really gone into poetry. May he rest in peace. And he's dead to me. But I often find solace in like other comics like you guys. And just being able to like not bounce ideas, but bounce like formed thoughts and being like, is this anything? Like, rather than like, oh, let's kind of bit this together, like piece by piece, like I made this for you. Is it good? And then I will take criticism off of that.
Okay. Yeah. That's fire. Yeah. That's exactly how you are both.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like it, you know, it's a good way. There's, I mean, not to say it's the best way or anything right. like that.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but for me, it is.
I mean, I really, like Bear said, I really resonate with that idea of like, you know, you're constantly just testing out your jokes around like the people around you and seeing what's funny and taking that criticism. Which honestly, it flows perfectly into our next question, which I'm even more curious about because you brought up Ali Wong and you got all these, you say you find inspiration from comedians. So like, what made you start doing comedy? Did you decide you were funny one day? Was there someone who inspired you?
I'm still waiting for that day. That's a good question. So I started doing stage, like performance, when I was very young. And I did a little bit of circuit in Charlotte, which is a city on the East Coast in North Carolina. And I did school and like circuit performances, and I really loved it. But, you know, it wasn't exactly for me. And I still wanted to do something on the stage. And around high school, really junior and senior year, I did an open mic in Charlotte. And because I knew a bunch of the people, because my band had played at that bar. And I was like, oh man, like I definitely could do that. And I got up there and I had been sweating profusely. And I did a quick little tiny set and people clapped. And I went, you know, I definitely could do that again, or at least, or like not, I guess I wanted to try to be better at it. Like it made me feel good. And I knew that I had a lot of room to improve. And so I was like, well, I should stick with this if it makes me so happy. And then I really started, you know, watching stand-up comedians and then I did a little bit of like just reading into it and trying to figure it out. And I joined some clubs in high school and in college that helped kind of make me grow, and it's always been kind of a not a side hobby but a pretty like big passionate part of my life, even though I am technically a computer science and math student and I work for a bank, and you know, it Yeah, like the least funny thing you could think of, and you know, but still.
Calvin Lane, normal man by day, comedian extraordinaire by night.
Yeah, by night. Man.
Yeah. Yeah, rip the shirt off. Show us the S on the chest.
I have to say, Calvin, after hearing that answer, there is no doubt in my mind that a comedian is exactly what you're meant to be, because the idea of a first set and you get off stage and the thought of, that was great, and I want to do better.
Yeah.
I feel like that is the comedian drive right there.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. It's just like, I was pretty, Jordan knows this, not so much anymore, but I was pretty paranoid in high school of like letting anybody who I knew see me perform, because I had a bad experience when at the very beginning, where some people came that I knew who were not my friends, and they kind of trashed on me afterwards. And, you know, in reality, like, yeah, it was not good, but like that kind of gave like this weird worm in my head that wouldn't stop whispering lies, and I thankfully broke through that. But you know, really it was the idea of like that also kind of compounded on the like I want to get better at it. So I've got a big kind of focus on just I do want to be funny, and I don't think I'm always funny. So I agree with you that I think that's what has helped me drive probably the most, honestly, because I don't want to give it up.
It's so real.
I keep thinking about it, and I'm like, I just can't give up, because then like, what am I like? Then they're right, and then I'm not funny, and like I always thought I was funny. So
that's so real too. And also, they might cut this part out because this is just straight man love right now. So they might they might take this off the podcast in the edit.
Cut it. Hey, here.
No, but that's so good. I'm happy for you to hear that and that you've broken through that, because you are that guy for me. Like, I wouldn't have done comedy had we not met. Like, stand-up comedy. I wouldn't have done comedy had we not met, period.
Well, I'm glad you are. I mean,
Well, there you go, listeners at home, man. Yeah. Like, you're listening to the man responsible right here, Calvin Lane.
That's how I know you're a real comedian, because you inspire other people to be funny. That's like the whole
thing. Yeah. I mean, I think everybody should try it. Like, it's definitely not for people. But, you know, the first group of people who came and saw me was I was in a fraternity, which is hilarious. Jordan can tell you my personality does not line up with that. And I was kind of the black sheep, but they all, literally 50 people came to this tiny open mic in Carrboro, North Carolina. And like eight or nine other people I had performed for were there. And we were just, they were like, we got to get more chairs. Like, there's too many people here. And you know, it wasn't my best set, but gosh, the cheer was pretty nice.
Yeah, so, man.
It does feel good.
You know what? And in the vein of it does feel good, this is one of my favorite questions to ask. This is my favorite question. I also say this every episode. It's my favorite. What do you do for all those people who want to be comedians out there? What do you do and how do you feel when you joke you give bombs?
Oh, dude. Okay.
And the second part of that question is the opposite, man. What do you do or how do you feel or how do you keep going when you know, when that joke just... it exploded. Like, that's the best joke you've ever told, and everybody loved it.
I mean, yeah, honestly, like, it's also the crowd, which is, like, a weird thing that you eventually do realize, where it's like, you know, sometimes your jokes bomb, and they are funny, and sometimes your jokes do really well, and they're not funny. Like, it's just kind of...
Amen to that.
Yeah, it's like energy.
It's great.
It is. So, you know, I get pretty in my... I used to get pretty in my head, not so much anymore, because I'm pretty laissez-faire now. But I used to get pretty in my head when, like, a joke bombed, because I did this thing, which I highly suggest you don't do, but I would write in, like, stopping points, I guess. Like, I would put, like, asterisks in my script. Yeah. So that, like when I was memorizing, I'd be like, and then pause here for laughter. And I paused one of those times, and it was just dead silence. And I was like, I wanted to take a pin and just like drop it and see if it was true, if you could hear the pin drop. But no, I, you know, and like that, what I do, I guess, for when it bombs, is you definitely have to look at it. You have to look at like why it is. And, you know, sometimes you can chalk it up to energy, but sometimes it's just not a good joke. And then you come to the question every comic has: am I gonna write this out though? Because sometimes you love a joke and it's for you, and it's in your set for you, and it's not in for the crowd, and you keep it even if it doesn't get a laugh because you think it's funny and you wrote it, and it's your baby, it's your ugly little baby. But you know, you cannot keep that for everything, so you really got to get picky and choosy. Although there are some, I've been trying to do this Happy Feet set for like five or six different times, and you'll hear it. It's not that funny, in my opinion. But dude, it cracks me the hell up every time I listen to it. So that's why it's still in, and I'm still trying to change it up and try to get it working. But that's my advice. And then if something really works, and you don't think it did work, I always say keep it in. Unless you're cutting for time, you know, jokes are jokes. And if it fits into your set, you might as well just like keep that in until A, you think of something better.
Yeah.
Or B, like it just stops working. So
that's sage wisdom. You know, that is excellent.
Never stop trying to improve the joke, but like don't just drop it because it's, you know, like maybe work it from a different angle. But yeah.
I love what you just said, man. I really, really resonate with it. I agree, and with the idea that sometimes you make a joke for you. I that took me a long time as a comedian to understand, because I would think to myself, this is funny. I know this is. I don't know why no one's laughing. And what I ended up calling it, I call it a comedy for me moment.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah.
In which I'm the only one that's laughing, and that's okay. Sometimes if you're a comedian, I mean, you got to make yourself laugh,
you
know?
Oh yeah.
And so I love that, man. I love that you say that. And the idea of not letting it go, and you know, knowing that you can work on it and writing it out, and sometimes that'll help.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, you should let some things go. But
oh yes. But like, yeah, yes.
For sure.
You know, just because if you're confident in something, you know, and like you're the comic, they're not. I mean, like that's so pretentious to say, but like if it's your set, and like I don't go up there to be like to gain notoriety or fame. I'm trying to go up to like to give a set that I like. So I guess that's a little different than if I was trying to go up and like please everybody.
Right.
So that's
right.
that's just a mentality thing, though.
Which I think it leads us into our last question just beautifully. Calvin, tell us all, and this is my favorite question. Why does comedy matter to you?
That's a good question. You know, life's kind of sad, or at least for me, it is. If you think about it on like a large scale, it's kind of, or in my mind, I mean, I don't want to depress the viewers, but it's like, generally it's like not that important, and also like, just kind of mundane, and those brief sparks of experience is like what I live for. And you know, the adrenaline pump that you get from hearing a hilarious joke or like making other people laugh, which is even better, is like one of those little sparks. And you know, comedy nights that are really great, or like when for some reason you get a little renaissance somewhere and you've got four or five friends who are going up every night and they're killing it, you know, that's a bonfire of moments. So it's you know, I think that's why comedy is so important to me, because even in the darkest day or whatever, you can make a joke, you can make somebody laugh, right. And it also gets me out of my head, because you know, I don't have a, as you can tell from what I just said, I have a very pessimistic viewpoint on most things. And so it's like switching to the comedy mindset is like super important for me as like a person, because it's like, okay, yeah, I mean, that's, it's hard, but like what about this, you know? Like, so I think that's why it's so important, not just as like a, as a hobby, but as like a, not defense mechanism, because that's the wrong word, but I would say like as a way to deal with coping mechanism.
Yeah, a release,
as a way to deal with life.
Laughter is catharsis.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. Yeah, and I don't think you have to worry about bumming out the fans. There's probably a lot of people. I mean, they're listening to the Comic Spotlight on the Comedy Bowl podcast.
Hey, what's up, you sad fucks? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
They have nothing better to do.
Okay. No, it's okay. You can. Yeah, it's fine.
We're a podcast, so you can say as many F-bombs as you
want.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. We're not getting censored for anything.
I'm actually in my parents' house right now for the holidays, so I cannot say as many F-bombs as I want.
Fair point.
My mom was like, what's your bit about? And I was like, ooh, edging. It's not cool. You wouldn't know.
Okay. Calvin, now I'm gonna hit you with the biggest thank you that Evan Bold could possibly give on the show.
Thanks,
because that was wonderful.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah.
For all the fans listening at home, please check out Calvin. Calvin, what's your Instagram handle? Where can they find you?
Oh, dude, I only have a private Instagram. I'm not good. Yeah, I know. I don't promote too much. I actually was talking to about Jordan Jones about this earlier, but I'm not a huge promotion guy for most of my stuff. But what I will say is support local bookstores, and I want you to go out when the pandemic is over and not before, and I want you to go to a comedy club with some friends if you've never been to one, and just listen to an open mic, and at least always clap at the end, even if it wasn't funny, because everybody deserves a standing ovation.
It's really real. Yeah, that's no, really that's, real.
That was the best outro we could have had. Okay, I've been Evan Bold. This has been the Comic Spotlight. Everyone else, tell them who you've been.
I've been the bear, Calvin Lane.
I've been Calvin Lane. Hey, guys, I'm Bear. Grr.
And catch us on the next episode.
Catch us on the flip.
Thanks, guys.
I love you, Calvin.